We're going to need the Lord's help and be grateful for your prayers. Written on the board, the word confidence. I'm thankful that we can put our trust in a God like that. What a privilege. What a privilege that we can find a treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the glory may be of God and not of us. I'm thankful because of who He is. We can be confident. We don't have to be in unbelief and in doubt. In fear, the scripture says that fear hath torment. But perfect love casts out all fear. We read also in 1 John the 4th chapter that herein is our love perfected, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You know, that's quite a statement to make. To be able to have boldness in the day of judgment. To be able to have confidence in that day. To be able to have an assurance in my soul that I don't have to be in a place that I'm doubting. That I'm confused of whether I'm ready or not. That I'm confused of what will happen on that day. But there is a place that we can have with the Lord of boldness. There is a place that we can have confidence in our salvation, that it can be a sure foundation for us to build on. I'm thankful for that confidence. Without that, we'd be left to go through life like a ship without a rudder, always wondering, am I on the right track? If I were to die tonight, am I ready to meet the Lord? I don't know. It's a fear. It's something that's always hanging over me. But there's an experience tonight. There is a place of a no-so salvation that I can know with confidence and with assurance, without doubt, that I'm ready to meet the Lord because of His love. I'd like to begin in 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. We're exhorted by Jesus that we are to be able to discern the signs of the times. To be able to have an understanding of the times that we're living in. To not just be like the fool that passes on simply and doesn't foresee the evil that's about to happen. But the wise man, the prudent man, foreseeth the evil and he hides himself. He takes measure for that. We are to be as children of the light. Not as children of darkness. Not as children who have no fear but in ignorance of that day. Because there are those that don't have fear of that day. There are those that are walking today in doubt and in question and in fear. They're in confidence. But my burden tonight is not just about confidence. Because the enemy has a confidence as well. The enemy has a place that he wants to offer to every one of us. That I can be in a place like this. In the last days. In those times whenever judgment is surely still to come. But yet there's a sense of peace and of safety. There's a sense of a false confidence. A false assurance. A false sense of safety. That would lull me into a place of sleepiness. A place where I'm not concerned about the condition of my soul. I'm not fearful, not because I need not be, but because I'm not even considering where I'm at. I've accepted a false confidence. So the scripture talks about those in that day that'll say whenever the Lord returns, peace and safety. Not just in our world, and maybe not even in the words that they say, but in the lives that they live, it testifies that I have a confidence. I have a carefree attitude. I have no care. I have no concern about the things of my soul. I'm concerned and troubled about many other things. But there's one thing that's needful for us to have a true confidence. To have a confidence and an assurance that can't be shaken. You know, it's very unsettling to feel insecure. To not have confidence in a situation, or you're in a place where you feel vulnerable. And there's something about that. If you've ever, those of you that maybe have cats, if you've ever held a cat, or it's felt like it's in a place that it's insecure, it's felt like maybe it's about to be dropped, or you have me upside down, it's apparently a very unsettling feeling. And the cat wants to right itself to get into a place that I feel like I have a more sure footing. Do you know, to be in a place of insecurity, I've got to do something about that. It's very unsettling. It's very unnerving to me. The thought of facing the great unknown. The thought of coming down to the end of life. That big unknown that I've never been to. What's it going to be like? I don't know what's on the other side. I've got to do something with that uncertainty. Because I can't just live with that gnawing concern. I've got to do something about it. I'm going to either have to turn to the Lord and make sure my salvation, or accept one of the many drugs of false confidence that the Lord has. To make me feel an assurance. To make me feel at peace and at safety in my soul. When in reality and in truth, I'm not secure. I'd like to consider this evening a couple of those things that the enemy would offer. Let's turn to Isaiah, the 47th chapter. The drug of false confidence. The devil would like to offer, as he is the author of it, lies. The devil would like for us to build our experience on lies. That's a shaky foundation. I'd like to read here in the 47th chapter of Isaiah, beginning in the 7th verse. And thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection or completeness, for the multitude of thy sorceries, for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Again, I don't know that this is much in the words that I would say. But in the actions and the conduct of my life, it witnesses to something. Am I living in such a way that my actions are testifying? I don't have the fear of God in my heart. I'm living carelessly, carefree, while I'm walking in a way that I ought to have the fear of the Lord on my heart. There ought to be a real concern upon me of the condition of the place that I'm in. I'm in a dangerous place, perhaps. I'm in a crossroads. I'm on dangerous and shaky grounds. But yet he says there's a place that you can get into where you convince yourself in your own mind that it's all about me. It's all about the way that I look at things and the way that I feel about it and what makes me happy. It's all about this life and the things that I see right before me. It's about the things that I'm able to fulfill and gratify right here at my fingertips. And begin to lose vision of something that goes far beyond that. To be deceived in my own heart and mind To get into a place that I conduct myself as if there is no God. As if there is no judgment for the decisions that I make. Or no repercussions or consequences to the decisions that I make. Instead, you've trusted in your own wickedness. You've convinced yourself that no one sees. Isn't that a foolish thing to believe? But how many people have done it? How many people have tried to flee from the face of God? How many people, whether it's hiding down in a ship or whatever it is, you think you can get your wife Jezebel to help conspire to take Naboth's vineyard, and somehow the Lord's not going to see it? But by the deceitfulness of sin, I get into a place that I feel like I'm secure. I'm safe. I've gotten by with this. There's a scripture that says in Ecclesiastes, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. In other words, when I first maybe experiment, I first try something, there's a little bit of something that draws back. Or I want to look, did anybody see that? Is anything going to happen from this? But if there's no immediate repercussion from that, you know, the tendency of the heart is to feel a little bit more confident. I got by with it once. I can get by with it again. And I can get by with it again. Well, I know that the scripture teaches. I know that the saints have always taught. I know that my parents have taught that this is a sinful way. This is conduct that you shouldn't have in your life. But I want to just taste of it. I want to just see for myself. It's not good enough to just hear the words of someone else. I've heard that sin is so awful. I've heard the world preached against all my life. But is it really that bad? Can I really not just partake of a little bit of the world? Let me just sample it here. Let me just start partaking a little bit. Let me just start enjoying some of the pleasures of sin. You know, the deceitfulness of it is this. I can do that and maybe I feel, by the mercy of God, a little prick. But many times the judgment of God doesn't fall like it did in the old days whenever they would offer a false sacrifice and the fire of God would fall and consume them, or the ground would open up before them because of the rebellion of their heart. It's many times not like that today. And I can get into a place like that because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. I began to feel more confident. I began to feel a little more secure in the way that I'm living. In the carelessness of my conduct, in my conversation. In some things where I'm not quite as careful as I one time was. You know, I still love the Lord. I partook of this, or I experimented this, and things look the same, and overall it feels the same, and I still know the same things that I knew yesterday of what I've been taught, and it doesn't feel like there's really been such a big difference. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, there's some reaping to do. Security. Confidence. Psalms chapter 10, verse 11, speaks of it in this way. Of the wicked man, it says, he has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. I've gotten by with it. I'm no worse off for what I'm doing and the things that I'm watching and the things that I'm taking into my life. I'm no worse off for it. I still come to service. I still have a testimony. I still have a profession of living for the Lord. And He knows my heart. And there can become a carelessness about the way that we live. And we can yet, while we're living carelessly, feel confident. And I can feel in a place of security. When I really should be feeling the dealing of the Lord, there can be a growing sense of invincibility. It's the way Way many times lives of crime start. You say, oh, now you're trying to put fear of a life of crime before us. But many times harder crimes, harder drugs, harder violations of law many times start with just a little experimenting. Let me just see if I can get by with this. Let me just see if I can overrule authority in this area of my life. If I can get by with it in this place. Or it seems like everyone else is getting by with it. It's the pack mentality. If I'm driving down the interstate and everyone else around me is going 85 miles an hour, I feel like I should be entitled to drive the same speed because everyone else around me is. And I can get into a place that I would feel it's not justified if that officer pulls me over because everyone else was going the same direction, the same speed, and I was just one of them. The justice of the Lord doesn't work that way. May we not be deceived. I'd like to recount a story maybe some of you have heard or remember. A man by the name of MacArthur Wheeler. The story was in, I believe, 1995 in the city of Pittsburgh. One day in broad daylight, this man MacArthur Wheeler went into a bank. Went up to the teller, he pulled a gun out, he had no mask, he had no camouflaging or way to mask his identity. He didn't seem to even be concerned about it. But he drew out a gun and he demanded the money, and not only one bank, but he went into another bank. And he did the same thing and robbed two banks. And it said as he was walking out of the banks, that he looked up at the security cameras and he smiled. And he kept right on out the door. Well, they were investigating it. They did what you might expect, and they took the footage from the banks and they put them on the evening news. And somebody saw that evening and said, I know that man. And here's his address. The police went to his door and they found a very surprised man. You MacArthur Wheeler? Yeah. You're under arrest. And they said that this man was so shocked. And his response to him was this. But I wore the juice. And they didn't know at first if this man was deranged or what he was talking about. But as they started investigating and digging into it, he said, I had lemon juice on my face. And come to find out, the man's logic was that if you've ever experimented with lemon juice, maybe you children, if you've ever written on paper with lemon juice, you can't see it. But if you put it near some heat, that lemon juice will turn colors. And you can then see the writing. So they say it's invisible ink. That's a form of invisible ink that you can use. You can go home and try that if you care to. But this man followed that same logic. And he said, you know what? If it works for ink, and it makes that writing invisible, it ought to make me invisible. And so he tried it. But he thought that he would be somewhat foolproof about it. He had a Polaroid camera that he took out and he snapped a picture of himself, and the investigators to this day don't know how it happened, but it spit out. Maybe he didn't know how to use a camera any more than he did the other deed that he did, but it spit out a blank piece of picture there. And he looked at that and he held up his white, undeveloped piece of film, and there it is. It works. I've tried it. The logic holds in my mind. I've convinced myself. When I put the lemon juice on my face, as long as I don't get near the heat, my face is going to be invisible to those cameras. So that man, whenever he went in and robbed the banks, had not a care in the world. He thought, I've figured it out. I figured out how to beat the system. I can smile at the security camera on the way out, and all they're going to see is a body with no face. I'm secure. I'm safe. You know, we can listen to something like that and think, how foolish. Didn't you stop to think that you could still see the paper under the lemon juice? So many other ways that you could look at it and realize your logic doesn't hold. It doesn't work. And he found that out whenever they came knocking on his door that night. Something's wrong. Something didn't hold up with the logic that I'm building my whole deed on here. The way I'm conducting myself is built on an assumption that I'm secure, that I'm safe. He felt confident. He could smile at the cameras on his way out. Do you know people today are smiling in the face of God?
Right.
While they're living in ways that are contrary to His Word. But yeah, they get into a place like this. That they feel confident. They feel a sense of security about themselves. You know, I can look at that man and think, how foolish. How could you not see it? But you know, it's the way deceitfulness of sin is. I can get into a place that I have so convinced myself that I'm right. I've so convinced myself of my logic that I'm okay where I'm at. This thing is all right in my life. I'm okay in the place that I'm at. I'm okay accepting the doctrines that I'm accepting. I'm okay walking the way that I'm walking. And others perhaps looking on it thinking, how foolish. How foolish. But that man couldn't see it until it was too late. May the Lord help us today that we not build our lives on a false confidence. That I not build my own experience on something that's unfounded and unsecure. I'd like to look at Isaiah the 28th chapter. Isaiah 28, verse 17. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Hiding place is something that I feel secure behind. I feel like I can't be seen behind it. It's a place that I can go and nobody sees me. The things that I'm doing or the attitudes of my heart or what, there is something that I can hide behind and feel security. But if it's built on lies, it's no security. If it's built on anything or any logic or any reasoning besides the Word of God, it won't stand. And so it says here, those that build a refuge of lies and a hiding place. Says He'll sweep it away. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then shall you be trodden down by it. But I thought I was so secure. Officer, I wore the juice. Why are you here? Folks, how many millions of souls today are in a place that they've been persuaded. You're okay. You're safe. You don't have anything to worry about. A refuge of lies. That's one of the drugs that the enemy offer. Another one to deal with the feeling of uncertainty is my own righteousness. Read in Luke, the 18th chapter. 18th chapter of the book of Luke, reading Jesus dealing with the Pharisees. Verse 9 says, and He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So He went and He told about the two that were praying, the one that felt so secure and so confident and assured of himself, and the other man that couldn't even lift up his head but smote his breast. It says that He spake that unto certain that had a confidence. They had a sense of assurance. But it was a false confidence. Their confidence was built on their own righteousness. You know, one of the most fearful passages to me is Matthew chapter 7. Whenever it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. For many in that day shall say, Lord, Lord. And He'll say, I didn't know you. But Lord, did we not do many mighty works in your name? We had a profession. We were religious. We followed all the observances of religious duty. By all outward observances and by other people's opinions, I felt secure. I felt like I was okay. I felt like I had dealt with the guilt by checking the box of responsibility to the Lord. Lord, I went to service. Lord, I gave some money. Lord, I shook the preacher's hand. I testified. Lord, whatever it is, I feel like I've done something here. And I want us to understand that it's not discounting works. It's not discounting our duty to the Lord. But if I trust in my own righteousness, if I trust and I feel secure in the place that I'm in, of my own self and of my own ability to work, I'm deceiving myself. There are multitudes, many in the world today, that feel like they've done their responsibility by going unto a priest, by saying the right words, by kneeling down and rubbing some beads the right way, by chanting the right things. I feel secure. I feel okay. I feel like I've done my part. If I'm baptized as a child, I've done my part. Folks, lies are nothing to build our security on. A refuge of lies is what so many people have built their experience on. That's what I'm trusting in. Eternal security. Oh, I'm thankful that we can be eternally secure in the Lord. But folks, the lie of the devil. As a child or at whatever age that you come and you give your heart to the Lord and you go on and you live the same way that you always lived, or sin you must, you go on and you don't live a changed life. You're not a new creature. You go on living in your sins, and the grace of God will just continue. That one application of the grace of God will continue throughout your life to cover whatever sins you commit. No more responsibility needed on your part. What a convenient lie of the enemy. A false confidence. If I can get into a place, if the enemy could get me into a place that I feel like I'm secure, there's danger in that. There's danger in false doctrine. The Word of God is that which we can build our lives upon. And any other creed or doctrine or idea or thought that I may have or anyone else is not going to stand that shock. The Scripture says that every man's works will be manifested, of what sort they are. Our works of what we're building, the day will come that it will be manifested. It will be tried. But do you know the Lord wants to try our works here? The Lord wants us to come to Him and submit ourselves under the proving and trying of His Word. Neglect not the assembling of yourselves together. There's a reason. It's so much more as you see the day appearing. Lord, I want to bring myself to You because I want You to prove me. I want You to test me. I want to have a confidence and an assurance of where I'm at. And I can't measure that by my own opinion. I can't measure that by my own logic that I follow to convince myself that my doctrine and my idea is okay. And the Lord will understand. And it all makes sense. Folks, it's the Word of God. And the way for me to get a confidence and an assurance, Lord, prove me here. Prove my works here. I want to submit myself to the Word of God. You remember what Ahab did whenever he had a desire to go to Ramoth-Gilead? 1 Kings, I believe, the 22nd chapter. And he asked Jehoshaphat, and he said that, I'll go with you, but let's inquire of somebody. Is the Lord in this or is it not? And so he turned to 400 prophets that he had at hand. I want to feel confident. I want to be able to feel okay about what I'm doing. So what do you all think? And with one consent, they all said, O king, I know what you want. They even warned Micaiah, the true servant of God, when he came. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say, because here's what the king wants to hear. You know, we're hearing that today. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you preach. Be careful what you teach, because it's not popular. The world's not going to want to hear it. The masses aren't going to want to receive it. So be careful what you say. Ahab said, well, whenever the 400 answered what he wanted to hear, he said, is there not another beside? He said, there is one other man, but I hate him. Because he always prophesies evil against me. You know, that tends to be my reaction whenever I'm trying to hide behind a refuge. Whenever I'm trying to convince myself of something, I feel like I need to protect what I believe. I don't want to hear that. That's just brother so-and-so. That's just the saints over there. That's just what they teach. That's just, they're just stuck on the teachings and the doctrines of 100 years ago. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to sit under it. I don't want to be honest and search. I'm convinced of what I believe. I'm convinced I'm secure. And how many times have we heard folks say, I'm free. I walked away from the truth and I'm free. And I'm happy and I'm joyful and I'm secure and I have no doubts whatsoever. Folks, a dangerous place to be in. When we build our confidence on anything besides the Word of God. Lord, search me. Try me. I don't want to forsake the assembling of myself, ourselves together. Lord, I need to submit myself unto Your Word. Lord, search me and try me. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Because, Lord, the heart of man can be deceitful. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So, Lord, help me to see myself. I don't want to go through life careless and carefree if my confidence is built on the wrong thing. Amen. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12. The Lord said that He would go through Jerusalem with a candle. Oh, yeah. And He would punish those that are settled on their lees. From the analogy of wine that settles over time, it hasn't been shaken up and stirred up. It's just kind of gotten into a place that has just settled down. I'm going to search Jerusalem, and I'm going to punish those that are settled on their lees, that have convinced themselves that the Lord doesn't see. The Lord will not do good or do evil. So how's our confidence tonight? Tonight we need not live in fear. We need not live in a doubtful experience with the Lord. But there's only one way to get to that place. It's not by just trying to go my own avenue and trying to convince myself. Carelessness, complacency is one of the great dangers of our time. And it's an effect of starting to gain a false confidence. Whenever I get into a place, remember the Laodiceans, that they had gotten into a place that they said were rich and increased with goods. And we have need of nothing. I don't even see my own needs. I'm in a place of complacency that I don't realize the real spiritual needs that I have. But you don't realize that you're naked and poor and blind. You're not able to see that and understand that. But you know the Lord, if we come to Him, if we behold and we look into the perfect law of liberty. The Lord is faithful and just. And He can reveal ourselves to us. And I can be able to see those things of my life, of my thinking. You know what? I'm a little bit off here. There's a place here that I'm feeling secure because I've gotten careless. I haven't been where I need to be with the Lord. I've gotten into a place that I've become lulled to sleep. Have you felt the effects of that? I can say I've been having to fight that. Been having to fight against lethargy. Having to fight against a press of complacency. It's easy in our time and in our day to get comfortable. To get settled down and complacent in the place that I'm in. I can't have my confidence built on an experience from 30 years ago. From 20 years ago, thank the Lord for those experiences. Thank the Lord for those way marks on the road. But I can't afford to settle down. I can't afford to get all comfortable and complacent because of the testimony that I have from when I first met the saints or from years ago. What's your testimony tonight? What's your testimony last Wednesday night? Lord, help me to be in a place that I'm close to the Lord. That I'm beholding His face. Perfect love casts out fear. That's where our confidence is based. The song we sing says, His blood is all my plea. Not my own righteousness or abilities or some confidence that I have because of who I am. But Lord, it's Your blood. That's the basis of my confidence with the Lord. Religion can be a numbing drug. And the devil doesn't mind playing religion. The devil doesn't mind offering religion to us. May the Lord help us so we not settle for a substitute for true confidence in the Lord. Tomorrow can be a false confidence. Tomorrow is a false confidence of the procrastinator. I feel confident in knowing that there's tomorrow to take care of this. There's tomorrow that I can do this. There's tomorrow. There's another opportunity that I'll have to take care of this. It's a false confidence because we're not guaranteed and assured of tomorrow. What we're given is this moment and this time to do with the responsibility that we have to the Lord of where I stand before Him. In the times that we live in, I think of the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. There were some when it came down to the end that five of them didn't have anything on hand and five did. But it said there was something that all had in common, and that was that they all slumbered and slept. They all went about life, if I can put it that way. They all went about through the motions of life, of living and loving and family and all the responsibilities of life that we do. But the time came to give an account. How many times today have you thought? I hope you have. But how many times today, how continuously today, have you thought about the fact that the judgment's coming? Have you looked up at the sky and realized one day Jesus is returning? Have you thought about the fact of the judgment that I'll face? Because we know it's coming. Believe it's safe to say that many or most of us here tonight would say, I know the Lord's coming back. I know that the Lord's returning. I know that judgment is coming. But am I living like it? What is it that I have on hand? I can't afford to get confident in something that's false, that I've leaked out, that I have a confidence in an experience that I've lost the essence of over time. And I don't even realize it anymore. And I've been lulled to sleep by the process, the numbing process of time, into a place that I don't even realize where I'm really at. The forgetful hearer. Time is the enemy of the forgetful hearer. I'll take care of that. I realize that, and I'm going to take care of that. I'd like to turn to 2 Peter, the first chapter. Second Peter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Thank the Lord. Folks, there is a place that our calling and election can be sure. It's not shakable. The enemy will come and contest it. He came and contested it with Jesus, but he found nothing in Jesus. He will stand and withstand us. But if I'm in a place where my confidence is founded in the Lord and in my relationship with Him, I can turn with boldness to the enemy and say, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord knows where I'm at. The Lord knows my experience with Him. You take this up with the Lord. Make your calling and election sure. It says give diligence. Don't just make assumptions. Don't just assume that I'm okay. Don't just go by feelings. Don't just go by my personal experience. And I want you to understand what I mean by that. Whenever my personal experience conflicts with the Word of God, the Word of God always supersedes my experience. Because I can get into a place that I say, I don't see it that way. Well, the Lord hasn't dealt with me that way. And I don't see that scripture that way. I'm not going to follow that. If my experience is not lined up with the Word of God, don't put confidence in your experience. Go to the Word of God. Found your foundation on the Word of God. Lord, there's something here maybe I don't understand. I don't see it all together, but Lord, I know Your Word is the answer. I know that's the plumb line that I've got to measure myself by. Make your calling and election more sure than just feelings, than just an empty hope that whenever I get to the end, I hope I'm on the right day. I hope I'm on that right cycle between camp meetings when I'm up on top of the mountain. But I don't have anything more sure than that. There's an experience that He said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. There is a place that we can be secure. There is a place that I can have a confidence and a boldness in the face of the world, In the face of the accuser of the brethren, I can have a boldness that's founded in the Lord.
Amen.
Something that will endure the test of time. I'd like to close in the book of Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. I remember the time when I realized that I'm not ready to meet the Lord. I remember that horrible feeling. Lord, please not tonight. Lord, I'm not ready. Lord, there's some things that I'm not sure about here. I want to take care of some things here that I need to get clear. I don't feel right, Lord. I don't want you to come right now. I don't have a clearness and an assurance and a confidence right now. But the experience we can have is that that John said, whenever the angel testified to John in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, he said, "Even so, behold, I come quickly."
Yeah.
You know, to some that brings with it a horror, but it need not. I can say as John did, "Even so, come, Lord. Lord, I'm ready for you. I've been waiting for this day. I've had my loins girded about. I'm looking for this day. I'm ready. I've been walking with you, Lord. I have a confidence and an assurance to be able to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. My confidence isn't in the rocks and the boulders that I'm going to have to try to call on after the Lord returns. To say, hide me from the face of that awful one. Hide me from His face. I don't want to see that. The rocks and the boulders that I've tried to make my refuge, my hiding place, the thing that I hide behind, the thing that I go to try to assuage that uncertainty or that guilt, to try to make myself feel better about where I'm at. I don't want something shaky. I don't want to build my experience on a lie that'll be swept away." Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, 24th verse. "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." How long has it been since your sleep has been sweet? Since you've been able to know what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what vehement desire. What a burning, "Lord, I'm ready." It's all committed. It's all under the blood. And that's my confidence. It's my hope. It's my assurance, and there's something about that. I can testify. It takes the fear away. It takes the doubt away. It takes the uncertainty away. You'll be able to have something that you're not afraid. "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." Tonight, the Lord wants to be our confidence. He wants to give us something, an experience that's sure. An experience that's solid. That stands the test of time. That I can have an assurance. Something that'll carry me through by the relationship that I have with the Lord. Looking into that perfect law of liberty. The Lord wants us to be able to have that confidence. Amen. Pray for me.